It's 6 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock noon Central Time. Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Yes, many of you are masticating. That's my favorite word, you know, to use over lunchtime because you'd be eating and chewing, right? That's what mastication is. I always get a charge out of throwing that out there just, you know, because it's getting close to Christmas. It's the holidays. We need a good chuckle. Laughter is the best medicine, I've always heard, even in the darkest days with the darkest news, you know, and many of America, much of America is in a depression. And just to think that you can't even get in an airplane without the risk of your pilot stroking out in the cockpit. USFreedomFlyers.org is the website. I have a copy of this letter. I promise you, we are going to post this in PDF form on thepowerhour.com. Here's my take on this. You can put together a Freedom of Information Act request, attach a copy of this letter, and ask the FAA what they're going to do about it, if they're going to follow the recommendations and ask them to provide you with evidence as to their compliance with Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations at Section 61.53. That's what you want to find out. You want to find out, get as much printed proof from them and request it as to whether or not they are in compliance and to prove it with documentation. That's what you ask for. I can tell you right now, if enough people start bombing the FAA with Freedom of Information Act request letters, it's going to get their attention. They know what's going on. And it doesn't have to be a crazy, crazy long letter like this 10-pager, but I swear you should read this before you get on another airplane. This is pretty scary stuff. I really am thinking that maybe I want to get rid of my frequent flyer card. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. There are several out there. You know, I'm sorry, Jen, whatever your name is that's out there, smiley face on the city card or Capital One or whatever it is that you're out there pushing. You know, I hate to say it, but people are really going to have to start thinking if the government doesn't start doing something about it. This is just all sorts of messed up now ever since we let all these bureaucrats run the show, the shift show, in there in Washington. As of January 20th, everything has just gone haywire. And you can see what's been happening in this country and now this. There is some saving grace, according to our news headlines. And by the way, we're going to be joined by our Alexander Hamilton dressed lookalike, Greg Spihar. He's got the Federalist 2.0 paper, Federalist2.org. You're going to love this guy. He's a lot of fun. Very well researched. In the meantime, some good news as far as Biogen. For those of you who were looking into this drug as a means for treating Alzheimer's, months after the drug debuted to widespread criticism for initial costs that can reach $56,000 a year, ABC is reporting that Biogen is slashing the price of this treatment in half. So now it's going to cost half the cost of 56 grand, 28,200 bucks, roughly, is what it's going to be for a person of average weight. All right. Rite Aid, you've heard of them. They've been in the news lately. The Hill is reporting. Rite Aid went to CNN and started whining about all of the part of its plan that they're taking losses. They want to reduce costs. I think they got shoplifted and looted so much that they decide that they're going to close 63 stores as part of their plan to cut corners, drive the profitability up a little, ensure they have a healthy foundation to grow from, according to Communist News Network. Well, they should have known that anyway. They should have known when you loot a store to the point where they can't stay open, you close the store. Who suffers? Those who depend on it. Not the ones that loot, but the ones that go there and spend their hard-earned money on supplies, those are the ones that get hurt. And that's unfortunate. That announcement follows CVS's move to shut down nearly 900 stores over the next 3 years. Evaluating changes in population, according to its CEO, Karen Lynch. Consumer buying patterns. Consumer buying patterns. Yeah, especially all those looters out there that get it for free. We commonly call that five-finger discount. Except they, you know, smash and grab doesn't constitute, you know, for shoplifting and just walking into a store and emptying everything into a grocery cart and running out the door with it, saying, "I dare you to stop me. I'll kill you." You know, these clerks, they're not paid to supervise looters and try and stop them. I know some of them have tried. You know, we've had police officers try, and they've gotten shot to death. One of them got shot to death just defending a news crew while they were trying to, the looters were trying to steal their broadcast gear. These stores, you know, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, all of them, they're all remodeling, downsizing on products like household appliances and stationery in favor of more beauty and wellness items, according to the report. And basically why? Because that's what they've been known for selling. They're not going to be able to compete with Walmart. And people are looting Walmarts, too, and stealing from Walmarts, too. This is, nothing is new. When you start stripping people of their ability to earn a living by mandating they get a jab that could potentially kill them, well, this is what happens, folks. Now, you know, I got some blowback here. I got to talk about this. I saw on TV President Trump bragging about the fact, like he always does, he brags, egotistical pig he is sometimes. I'm not saying he's not a good guy, so you Trumpers, stop taking issue with this. I'm a libertarian at heart. I'm looking at both sides of the coin, okay? It doesn't matter who's in office. Now, I'm going to tell you some good things about Trump for you Trumpers out there, all right? I respect the guy for what he did, and if you don't like it, you're fired. Remember that old saying Trump used to use on TV? I think it got to his head when he got into the White House. But he is, Trump is a businessman. He's smart. He knows how to play the bankruptcy system. He knows how to play the tax game. He knows how to fight to stop his personal tax records from getting into the hands of morons out there that want to needlessly threaten prosecution, like the attorney general from the state of New York. She has zero right, and I agree that his rights may be challenged here because she keeps claiming she's going to get the goods on this guy. Now, she's not. President Trump has done a lot of good for this country because he's a businessman and a CEO. As a politician like Lauren Boebert, he has a lot to learn. He doesn't play the politician game very well. We see a lot of the same stuff from the Republican side of the aisle as we do the Democrat. And I've told you, Congress is like a two-headed coin. You got Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other side. It's still the same coin. Congress has made a big mess of everything in this country. And now we have a reckless fool in the White House that goes out and does the stuff that he's doing, spending money, writing checks this country can't cash, spending taxpayer money needlessly on stuff that doesn't work. And I'm talking about those PCR tests, $500 million at-home rapid tests, really? And then he gets on TV and fearmongers and says we're going to have a winter of death, really? You really believe this monster? I don't know who he's getting his cues from. I'm not liking it. I don't think you are either. 844-769-2944, because we're going to spend a half an hour before we join Greg Spihar, our Alexander Hamilton lookalike here. Modern day, of course. But you see, here's the thing. Socialism, we don't need, right? It is possible, if you look at the two-headed coin I was just talking about, if you go to the far left, you have Marxism. If you go to the far right, you have authoritarianism. Either way, it's not a pleasant situation. Because both sides of the aisle, as is any administration that gets in power, Democrat or Republican. That's why this two-party system has screwed everything up. We're not getting the answers we need. And then you get these bureaucrats, deep state, that run the shift show. And it gets nastier by the minute, especially this letter that we're going to post on the Power Hour. This 10-page letter to the FAA from Lee Dundas, who, by the way, did speak. I caught bits and pieces of her speech in between running back and forth and making networking connections with all these frontline doctors I was talking to while I was at Clay Clark's Reawakening America tour. And Lee Dundas did get on stage, this attorney that signed this letter, very first signature there. And she did speak to the crowd, and the crowd was just screaming. They loved what everything that she said because they're very unhappy. All 3,000 people in that room were unhappy with the way things were going in America today. And everything she said hit a nerve, struck a chord, made people think. And then when President Trump gets on there and starts bragging about, oh, I got Operation Warp Speed. You just heard what Josh Yoder just said about Operation Warp Speed. They haven't even tested this stuff, and already he's taken the booster. Well, see, by him getting on TV yesterday and bragging about it, it looks like he drank the Kool-Aid too. Dear God, help this country. I cannot, oh, I get the booster too. Gee, Don. Mr. President, really? Yes, I know that we have a right to know your medical history. We know that before this vaccine, you got hydroxychloroquine amongst other cocktails that you got better all of a sudden. Why didn't you take the cues? Why did you listen to that moron, Anthony Mangala? Why did you listen to him? I keep asking myself that over and over. I'm sure you did too. And if you haven't, why not? Haven't you asked yourself that question? Why didn't he challenge Fauci's narrative? He was the president of the United States when this whole thing broke loose. Why didn't he challenge their narrative and fire that idiot? No. You know, he believed, he drank the Kool-Aid. Now he admits he got the booster. I'm like, man, more Kool-Aid. Jeez, Beniz. You see what's running the country here? And now everybody wants to reelect him because they like the way things were. Boy, he better pick a really good running mate. DeSantis, I don't think, is going to run with him, folks. DeSantis said he's going to run for governor again in Florida. He's got a big enough backyard to police. But to sit there and then have the president of the United States get all these drugs in him, these unapproved emergency use authorization only vaccines in his system, and then he gets reelected and is back in there trying to straighten out the mess that Biden made, restart the XL, Keystone XL pipeline, get our energy prices back down, put the hammer back down on foreign policy like he was doing, put the country, you try, okay, all right, all you Dems out there that are complaining, you got a better solution? Looks like the guy that you put in the White House, the bozo that's in the White House right now, he has no solution. Everything that he's done, he's made a complete mess of, and so have all the people that he has supported and kowtowed and catered to. But yet, he managed to get a $475,000 fence around his little Rehoboth Beach vacation home that he parties at every weekend when he's not napping. Folks, it's a sad state of affairs when we have to understand that we're in for another 3 years of this caca. And we have to do something about it. It is up to each and every American to stand up and be counted. And I'm not talking about the census here, folks. I'm talking about getting involved locally in all of your political campaigns, because where we're going to make a difference is on the state level. You can write all the FOIA requests you want to the FAA and to all these other agencies demanding information. But I'll tell you something. The biggest impact you're going to make is by getting involved in county and state politics. That's what's going to make a difference. The more you can get plugged in, whether it's running for school board, whatever the case may be, stopping this nonsense, this is how it's going to change. It's almost dangerous. We've got librarians out there banding together, wanting 300 some odd books. that have to do with basically porn for kids. They want it back in your library again. This makes the potential for going to school a very dangerous place. There was pictures I was looking at on, you know, they have some various blog sites that are out there, dark blog sites. And it's got all these fifth grade kids smiling and yelling and raising their hands like crazy in front of a bedroom scene that's obviously been pasted over the top of a couple having backdoor sex. And this is the kind of crap they want to put in our schools, folks. It's awful. And now they want to, our kids are impressionable. I don't think there's one parent that I have talked to in this last few weeks since I've taken the reins as this show host. I don't think there's one parent I've talked to that hasn't agreed with me on this. And the only way this is going to happen is by people going to their school board meetings, going to their school libraries, looking at what they've got, looking what's being pandered to their kids, asking their teachers, sending Open Records Act requests, and demanding to know what's going on, running for school board. I don't care how old you are or whether you have kids in school or not. If you have a common sense, godlike mind, then you need to step up. That's how it works. That's how you stop this nonsense, folks. So it doesn't keep happening to our kids. Our kids are very impressionable, especially at that age. You want to twist some kid's brain? Expose them to this stuff when they can't be in a position to rationalize and make an informed consent decision. Start ingraining them, introducing them to all your TG friends, introducing them to the gay lesbian groups. Put them in there and let them know, see, we're not bad people. Hey, you want to go have sex out in the back? You see, this is the kind of stuff that this perverse society has come to. You got teachers out there that, you know, every so often I get a report about somebody who goes out, it's a teacher, they haven't vetted enough, and now he's busted because he had sex with a minor, because he fondled some school kid. Might have been yours. I mean, Loudoun County, Virginia, that wasn't enough to wake you up. It's getting nuts out there, folks, and this is why you, as a concerned citizen, can do the most and have the biggest impact by going to the county and talking to your sheriff, getting him on your side, running for public office, and doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing and putting a stop to this nonsense. I know politics is dirty on the local level, but folks, this is how you find out just how dirty it is try and run, you know, pretty much what our friend up in Kansas did. That's a really sad state of affairs. You know, we had him on the show, Jim, and, you know, they ran him out on a rail. It's a very sad state of affairs when you try to run for state senate, and the next thing you know, they're swatting your house. You know about that. We talked about it on the show. It's one of these unpleasant things that people come across when they run for public office. You got to make sure that your skeletons in your closet are put to bed, put to rest, so you don't end up like our friend up in Wichita in Sedgwick County. But that's what you do. That's how you fix this. A little bit different sigh of relief here. Members from the Clinton 2016 campaign may be called to testify in a special counsel probe, according to special counsel John Durham. The disclosure came as court cases and people in those cases tried to convince a judge to explore potential conflicts of interest involving attorneys Danny Arenado and Stuart Sears, who are representing Igor Danchenko. Danchenko, who is a Russian analyst, was indicted by a grand jury last month on 5 false statement charges, and he allegedly lied to the FBI when questioned about information he provided to ex-British spy Christopher Steele, best known for this dossier, which it looks like Hillary Clinton paid for, or at least her campaign knew it. That could pose a conflict of interest, and they're going to try to get to the bottom of this as far as her attorneys, Danchenko's attorneys being involved. We're not going to, I have a feeling it's going to take a long time to turn over those stones. And you got whistleblowers like Dr. Andreas Nowak, who died at the hands of German police on November 27th this year. after he released that video, which we posted online for you to watch, explaining what was in the jab, graphene oxide. If you haven't watched that, I think you need to go look at it. Yes, he's speaking in German. You could turn the sound down because there are subtitles there. There is some English speaking on it. But, you know, when he starts talking, if you don't want to listen to it, you can just read the English subtitles. 4 days after he put that out on November 23rd, they came for him. Epic Times is also reporting her scientific conclusions about the COVID-19 pandemic and the origins of the Communist Party virus in China are controversial, and the jury is still out on this whistleblower's views that the CCP virus is the result of a secret 20-year-old bioweapons research program by the Chinese regime that includes coronaviruses. We're talking about Dr. Yan Li Meng. Despite the pushback from fellow scientists, her former employer, and even her now estranged husband, who she said tries to poison her, said it was very easy for her to risk her life and her career to speak up about her observations of the initial outbreak. And she basically told Epic TV's Crossroads program, "I'm the big problem here." She was a member of a very well-connected WHO influenza H5 reference lab based at the University of Hong Kong School of Public Health, a key emergency disease lab for the Chinese government. "They need to disappear me," she said. That means like what happened to Dr. Andreas Nowak. They make you go away. The CCP has already silenced other whistleblowers who might have had valuable knowledge and insight into the outbreak. Didn't happen from a seafood market. And when are we all going to realize that this is a bioweapon? Here's another whistleblower that's making that claim. We need to wake up, folks. We'll be back with Greg Spihar after the break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Resvital Caps, Sinu Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would. The Strokes heart drops, the world-famous Strokes heart drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those heart drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
It's 32 minutes after the hour of 12 o'clock Central Time, Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We're live, of course. Christmas is just, you know, creeping up on us, huh? I don't know what you're going to do. We're investigating dinner right now. But many of you probably already have plans. It's good. And, you know, think twice about what I told you about flying after having Josh Yoder on the program. And I'm telling you, if I'm going anywhere, it's probably going to be behind a steering wheel and not sitting behind a cockpit for a while until we sort all this out. That's enough to shake anybody up. But I'll tell you, there's more than meets the eye when it comes to our government and what it's done. And we were warned a long time ago in a set of diatribes by our various founding fathers called the Federalist Papers. You remember that? Well, we have a gentleman on the line right now who I had the pleasure of interviewing at Clay Clark's Reawakening America tour. And the funny thing about it was when he walked up, I looked up at him and went, whoa, who might you be? Alexander Hamilton. He was dressed up, had the wig, the whole nine yards on. And I was quite taken aback. And I said, we need to talk. Sit down. Let's have an interview. So we talked. And if you caught our bit noisy interview here, we decided to bring Greg Spehar back on from Federalist 2.0. The website is Federalist2.org. And I got a couple of laminated placards here from Greg when we were at the event. And it basically shows the four elements, positions of beliefs. And Greg has spent an inordinate amount of time, 14 years, basically, trying to define common sense in today's day and age based on the Federalist Papers. Greg, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
All right, so tell me again, tell our listeners who may not have had a chance to listen or got annoyed by the noisiness of what was going on at that very exciting convention, tell them how you came to embark on this task of redoing, what was it, 14 of these pieces of the Federalist Papers?
Yeah, we actually decided to pick five. There's kind of five papers that really put the base of, or the basement of the overall rest of the structure. And this all came around the 2008 timeframe, right around where Obama went into office. My dad, in particular, was very political. He graduated from Marquette University with a poli-sci degree, and he spent a lot of time talking with us kids and my friends and myself about politics. And in that particular year, he'd been really struggling with heart problems and had passed away. And so it was, you know, time for me to kind of go through his things. And as I did, I found all these papers and, you know, decided to really dig in, because at the end of it, I really was trying to understand myself, what is happening to our country and why, you know, aren't we able to navigate to a real solution? I'm an aerospace engineer by design, so I really started to dig in and say, you know, all right, what is happening? And the Federalist Papers seem to be a basically requirements. And so I started looking at a couple of them. I found the first one, and that one really focused on, you know, how are men created equal, but don't live equally, was kind of the first one. The second one is, the Federalist is a pessimist and a realist. So it's kind of human nature. And then the other one is passionate man will have struggles. And then the fourth one is kind of man led to reason and virtue and the factors of faction insurrection. In defining this, I started to really have an awakening on Breitbart. And so back then, I don't know if some of your listeners were on Breitbart in that 2008 to about 2012 when the Tea Party was kind of forming. I was a anonymous poster called Publius, and I spent hours and hours each night battling people and talking about it and actually defining these 33 concepts that you'll see on the website under new principles. The piece what you I gave you, the placard, is called the Unified Theory. So we did get a lot of flack from folks about our particular perspective and how, you know, we were just throwing words out there. And I'm like, well, okay, this doesn't make sense. Let's put a framework together. And so that's what the Unified Theory is the basic framework in order to take these concepts, take what the Founding Fathers did, and place it in a map that kind of says, okay, this is a different thing than socialism. The socialists basically want to say there is nothing else but socialism. Everything else is a pipe dream. And so they want you to believe that they have responsibility for your life. And in order to have you be secure and safe and treated like cattle, you know, you need to give them power and let them do what they need to do. And you should be happy about it. So, ask me some more questions.
Yeah, I mean, 14 years of work, and this, when I'm looking at this stuff, and those of you who have a question and want to see this placard I'm talking about, that have access to the internet, you can go to Federalist2.org, and it's there. Federalist 2.0 is there, and you can actually see these charts. And this is the first one I'm looking at here. Number one, this has the four quadrants, and the quadrants are separated. The top half of the quadrant is labeled tyranny. The bottom half of the quadrant is labeled freedom. On the right-hand side of freedom is Republican politics or republic. The productive are not ruled. According to this, natural laws as defined by a theological perspective. And actually, they basically say one believes in God, but accepts that others may believe in a different God. That's your right. Markets are liberated and are independent from the government. This is the side of freedom from the republic perspective. This is what I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Greg. This is what Ben Franklin, when the woman asked him after coming out of the Constitutional Convention, what kind of government have you wrought for us? And he said, a republic if you can keep it. Is this where you believe Franklin was headed in this direction of this particular narrative?
Absolutely, and I think the 14 years of effort was really trying to unlock the specific keys and understanding what that that capability is that they actually defined. And the importance that you find there is the natural tendency for mankind to drive power over each other, right? And so what are the things that are the antidote to that, right? So inevitably, and you and I talked about like tilting that thing, the more a society has a virtuous intent, and that virtuous intent and understanding of free will is derived from the notion of God, we have the ability to move towards that corner of that piece, of that framework. As a society gives up on the notion of God and starts to embrace unvirtuous behavior, begins to think that there is no free will, begins to not allow people to have responsibility, and disbands on their ability to reason, you slide into socialism. Those that are socialists that have that power are the ones that end up becoming free and enslaving their society.
Right, and you have that described in the upper left-hand corner under socialistic politics, or e.g. communism, and it basically wealth is driven down one does not believe in the right to believe in a God. That is basically, it's the political elite rule. And if you look at what's going on today in our society, all of these people and these mandates and everything else and the fear-mongering that's going on, the outside edges of this is liberty is defined by what is permitted by the government. Daily risks are controllable by the government. This is all part of tyranny in the where the political elite rule. And basically wealth is driven down. Nobody, you know, basically if you look at the Communist Manifesto and all the planks, I mean, you don't have the right to own property. And here they sit there and they throw it in your face and they go, you're not going to own anything, but you're going to be happy. Why are you going to be happy? Well, is it because we're going to keep you in la-la land? We're just going to, you know, feed you and you will beg for us for sustenance? I mean, this is what is defined upstairs on the top of this as far as the political impact of the belief in God, the justification to impose one's will on another while believing one is right. One cannot conceive on any level that anyone could possibly believe anything else and still be considered rational or even in many cases a human entitled to all attendant rights and privileges. Well, you see, that's why we have the Constitution, folks. That's why the Federalist Papers was created. Which Federalist paper do you think of all the ones that you researched, Greg, smacks of this warning about not letting socialists and the political elite rule us?
That's definitely the second one, and that's my first paper on men are created equal but do not live equally. And the piece that really drives home this particular notion is what one of the founding fathers wrote, and it's this. It has been frequently remarked that it seems to have been reserved to the people of this country by their conduct and example to decide the important question whether societies of men are really capable or not of establishing good government from reflection and choice, or whether they are forever destined to depend for the political constitutions on accident and force. So this really is a test of our time, not only of the ability for us to, as a nation, as a society, to determine our own fate, but to really prove that there is a higher power. And if we are consistent with raising our souls to honor that higher power, that we can succeed and get past this.
No doubt. All right. Now I'm going to go to the lower right-hand quadrant here of this graph that I'm looking at right now. And folks, if you want to go to Federalist2.org, there's no dash or anything like that. It's just Federalist2.org and look at the same graph I'm looking at. You'll be on that page. Now, I want you to think in the back of your mind as I'm reciting this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy for which it stands. Excuse me? Did you catch that, folks? I thought Ben Franklin created a republic for us. Remember that? But yet, freedom is also labeled in democracy, which has been a little twisted here on the bottom right-hand or left-hand corner, rather. Because with the left hand, you understand, this is one of the reasons why Greg put this on the map. One does not believe in God, but believes in the right to believe in a God. And this is all done by majority rule. Liberty defined by what is possible by a constrained government. Natural laws as defined by an objective perspective. In other words, you know, the will of the overall people, the reverence for one's will relative to another, while believing one is right, one understands, acknowledges, and accepts that someone else, in the full possession of their reasoning and humanity, can believe something else. And this, of course, reflects the way that democratic rule in this country, at least that's the way I'm perceiving this now. Am I off base here, Greg?
Absolutely. You're right on the spot. And that's what really was confusing for me is that, you know, I had been taught and led for, you know, 40 some years to think a certain way. And as I went through this and started to write these papers and write this unified theory, the wall just came down on me. If anybody is depressed and upset, I mean, I went through depression like crazy until I began to frame this out. This is just the world as we live it. This is not our world And this is Satan's world, as a lot of my very religious people talk about. And I've really begun to understand that that is true, that no matter what we do on this planet, you know, unless we can get a different focus, we will always slide towards the socialistic set of politics. And there's nothing we can do about that, except for the pieces that we talk about in terms of developing new ways of thinking. All the things that are happening with the Trump movement is spot on. Everything that's happening with the Reawaken Tour, spot on. I mean, it's just unbelievable how in the last 3 or 4 years things are playing out exactly to how, you know, I was able to frame things in particular. And this is maybe one of the little side notes. You know, I spend so much time in framing all these five different papers and the different principles, as well as this unified theory, that, you know, maybe a little side note would be probably part of the Tea Party's existence, and a lot of the core Tea Party people were on the site during that period of time, has really was spawned or sparked because of my conversations. I'm not saying, you know, that I'm the reason for Tea Party, but I do think that me and other people, because my work is not just by myself. There's probably a handful of us that were building this and looking at this. But we actually sparked some real hard thinking that is really beginning to come to fruition. Now, before we go, I am in the process of building a certification. So if you go to the very front homepage, I do have a graphic there that kind of shows, you know, just we've just done five papers or 78 other papers, and I've got 33 principles. You know, everybody on the planet here, including Maya, you know, I don't do this full time. I have a job, and I have like three certifications. And no politician has any certifications. You know, the goal of a politician is to get into office and then basically rape, you know, anything that they can in terms of money and power out of their friends and in the society in order to, you know, build a big house or God knows what they really want to do. Really, at the end of the day, what I articulate is that people get consumed by their vices, and this is what they end up pursuing. And I think certification would allow us to be able to, one, test people to see if they've got that mindset, and then ongoing into the future, determine if they've, you know, abandoned that onset. And you can see from the graphic here that range not only, you know, is with a politician, but with media people, with journalists, and even just active citizens. If you want to do something and you want to know that you have the right level of thinking, I'm building a certification that will validate that.
Yeah, see, this is why, folks, in an area of the country that Greg is in, you know, in this kind of study, and that's what I'm talking about, the area. I'm not talking about geographical location. I'm talking about an area of study that he is in. This sort of thing right now should have been done years ago. I mean, we're talking about pre-military industrial complex Eisenhower days. We should have been talking about this because everybody since then has been spewing democracy this, democracy that. And we have the upper right-hand quadrant, which we haven't covered yet, but I want to get to before we run out of time here. This is basically theological politics. Now, you're talking about a king and a queen. This is almost like a monarchy. One must believe in a specific god, and this is the divinely ordained rule. It shows wealth going sideways, markets being controlled and rationed by the government, and daily risks uncontrollable by government. And, you know, if you look at the ultimate right, you know, they have alt-left, they have alt-right, both sides. The alt-right, which is on this graph, the upper right-hand corner, is almost like representative of way back when the Anglican Church, when they were basically saying, you know, this is what caused the pilgrims and Puritans to flee because of religious persecution. Would that fall in line with the federalist thinking here, Greg?
Absolutely. The real issue here is that, you know, we are on this planet to evolve our own spirit and our own being to become a better person. And when we end our time here, it's to be able to look back and, you know, make things better. What happens with power, and this includes in religious power, people are people and they get consumed by their vices. And as you've probably witnessed in the last 50 years, the left in particular has been after the Catholic Church in all the different priests that haven't acted properly. They're engaging in their vice. And when you have an unconstrained society that is maybe based in a religious perspective, those people at those levels, you know, are behaving inappropriately. And you see that in the Bible with the Pharisees. You see that today with even the rulers of Iran, et cetera. There's a lot of vice occurring. And in that occurrence, they harm their citizens inadvertently.
Wow, this is some intense stuff. And folks, if this is a little too deep of a conversation, it's because, you know, I think that any political scientist or anybody like me, I majored in poli-sci in college as well as journalism. And I actually, when the media started all of this diatribe way back when last year, I could see what was coming over America, and it was not a pleasant thing. And here I am, a card-carrying newsie, and I'm working on a regular radio station, and I'm out with a Department of Homeland Security credential roaming the countryside when nobody else can, trying to figure out what in Hades is going on. And what it appeared and still appears is the drive toward trying to set up a socialist state. And people have, I think, from the people that you've talked to, Greg, do a lot of people appear to have woken up?
I think a lot of people are waking up. The challenge we have is that, and I think you touched upon this before, you know, this should have been built, you know, 100 years ago. And the reality is, in society in particular, you know, the benefits of freedom and liberty are not monetarily evident, meaning that I can make a lot more money by convincing you to be enslaved than convincing you to be free.
That's deep. And people don't get it. You know, this is why, you know, they keep running out and they get the jab. And we just had Josh Yoder on in the past hour talking about the pushback from pilots all over the and other transportation folks, federal contractors and whatnot, because now this overreach is smacking of everything in the upper left-hand quadrant. And the diatribe that you espouse is not meant to reframe the entire Federalist paper. This is not what Greg and when I first met him in the Alexander Hamilton outfit that he was wearing, we came to the conclusion mutually that he was not there to rewrite the entire Federalist paper and make it his own. He was there to basically put this in layman's terms to where they can understand what our founding fathers intended for us. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely spot on. The interesting thing is, you know, I read the papers, and if you read them, you know, without any sort of translation, they are freaking impossible. I mean, there's just really difficult to get through. And each of these papers that I wrote, probably I put in, you know, 40, 50, maybe 60 hours each. And I pulled every single sentence out, kind of looked at why we wanted to, why that was there, try to translate it, and then stood back and said, what is it that they're saying? And that's the 33 principles that, you know, basically provides a set of the basement per se for us to build something upon.
Right. Once you get past the these and the thous and the those and the thine.
Yes.
Yeah. You get past all of that. And then you try to figure out from King James and whatever other diatribe they were speaking at the time. You have to understand that our founding fathers wrote the Federalist Papers as a side campaign to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. These are all basically diatribes by our founding fathers expounding on what I believe from all my studies in political science. Kind of like warning signs. They're trying to tell you, look, we've been there, done that. We understand the persecution. We understand how things can move in weird directions. We understand how twisted that governments can get. We understand persecution. We've been there. We understand religious freedom. We've been there. We escaped persecution in England. We came here. We founded this country on godlike principles. Please be aware that the further away you get from godlike principles, the more freedom you are likely to lose, because you will give in to the ways of the world. And this is something Greg was talking about earlier, having this world. This is not ours. It belongs to Satan. I mean, he was cast down here with a third of the angels from heaven, according to the word, if you choose to believe it. And all of the Federalist Papers were principled on godliness. And that's one of the reasons I think this is most important, that if you have some time over the holiday season and you want to educate yourself, it might be a good idea to just Google the Federalist Papers and sit down and read these things. And if you get a little confused, go to Federalist2.org, and there's at least five of them re-explained the best that Greg Spihar figured out how to explain it so you could get it. So it's amazing. Greg, thank you so much for being on the show. We are out of time
for
today. And just we'll keep in touch for sure, because,
absolutely,
you know, down the road you may decide to move on to Federalist Paper number 6. So we wish you well, and a happy holiday to you and your family. And we'll have you back on. Thanks for being on the Power Hour today.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you. Take care, too, always. We want everybody to stay safe. It's so important. That's why we have the show. Happy holiday to all of you. Hope you're enjoying your holiday season. No matter what you do and where you travel, stay safe. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.